पंजाबी हाजी। जय राधा माधवा पंजाबी हाजी। कवि जन बाबा गोपी चन बाबा शिवा यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरावन चारी Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is ki all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 13, entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text number 26. Anye tva evam ajananta. Shrutvanye dya upasate. Tepi chaitra natyeva. Mrityum shruti parayana. Anye tva eva majananta. Shrutvanye dya upasate. Tepi chaiti sarantyeva. Mrityum shruti paranyana. Anye tva evam chananta. Eva, Mrityum Shruti Parayana, Anye Tva Evam Majananta, Mrityum Shruti Parayana, Anye tva evam vajananta. Shrutvanye vya upasate. Tepi chate sanantiva. Mrityum shruti parayana. Anybody on the lady side? Anye tva evam vajananta. Shrutvanye vya upasate. Tepi chate sarantiva. Mrityum shruti parayana. Anye. Others. Two. But. Evam. Thus. Ajanantaha. Without spiritual knowledge. Shrutva, by hearing. Anyebhya, from others. Upasate, begin to worship. Te, they. Api, also. Cha, and. Atitaranti, transcend. Eva, certainly. Mrityum, the path of death. Shruti Parayana, inclined to the process of hearing. Translation and purport work by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if a common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Amagyana Chimirandasya Jananjana Salaka Chakshun Pamyena Sasmai Shri Gurudevinama. So in this verse, very nice, it's talking about hearing. And we know hearing, there's 9 processes of devotional service. But the first and foremost is hearing. Just like a few minutes ago, we were hearing thunder. So if anybody left their windows down in their cars, they went running to go put them up. Because thunder, you think immediately, rain, right? And so many things are like that. Just by hearing, we understand things. So this hearing of Krishna consciousness from authoritative persons is so important. Without that, we can't understand anything. We can speculate forever about what is the nature of this world. And we see in modern society, the scientists are doing that. But their conclusions change regularly. You know, the earth is so old and people were only on here for so many years. Oh, wait a minute. We just found some bones that mean that someone was here before that and they had tools, which means maybe they were... So like this, so much speculation. Oh, there's only this many stars in the... Oh, wait a minute. We just found another one and another one. So things are always changing. By our speculative reasoning, so many things are changed. Right? I'm sure all of you have witnessed different things that somebody says is fact or that we learn in school from our school books. And yet later on it's changed all over again. So we need to hear from an authority. And Prabhupada's making the point here that in this educational system now, no one is an authority about spiritual matters. No one teaches spiritual matters. No one even teaches that you're not this body, that you're spirit soul. And that's the A in the ABCs of spiritual life. You have to know that. I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. And I think most people feel something of that in their life. They've had some feeling. I remember being a little child and thinking, this couldn't be all there is. And what happens? Like, we just grow old, and then we die, and then that's it? You know, all these questions come into the mind. And who can answer those questions? I myself went to the priest, because my parents were Catholic and I was raised as a asking questions. He said, just have faith. You don't have to ask all these questions. Just have faith. But who with a thinking mind can just have faith without knowing something? Right? Knowing something. You have to know something. And it's just like it's explained that if I tell someone, love God with all your heart, with all your might, with everything, love God. What's the first question someone's going to ask? Who's God? Right. Who is God? Who's this person I'm supposed to love? Right? So we have to find out about that. And a thinking person that has a little bit of spiritual inclination will start asking that. So then we have to find the person who knows. That's why we hand out these books, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, on the streets all over the world. Actually, there are devotees out there handing books out to people because this knowledge is so important. Everyone else is teaching us you are that body and you have to enjoy. And to enjoy, you need to buy this, you need to buy that, you need to vote for this person, you need all these. And if you don't have the latest model, you are not going to enjoy yourself because you have to please your senses. That's the ultimate goal of this life, right? And we see it in the billboards, we see it in any commercials, even just being taught in the school, you're being taught that this is you. This body is you. You know, you have to take care of it. You have to, so many things. Don't let it get sick. Go to the doctor. So many things, right? But this body is not you. So that's number one. And how do we find that out? What's the process to find it out? We inquire from someone who knows. Okay? So we make inquiries. Do you know what I'm supposed to do in this life? Who am I? Do you know who I am? Because I don't know who I am. And I think a lot of people come to this movement or approach this Bhagavad Gita like that. What am I supposed to learn? Who am I? Who am I? And the first thing Krishna says is that we're not this body. And that the things that go on in this life, the happiness, the distress, it all comes and goes just like the winter and summer season. Right now it's summer and it's very hot and uncomfortable. But then it'll change to winter and it'll be cold and uncomfortable. Right? And you have one, and you have a little relief in between each season. But it's just our senses perceiving, oh, this is suffering and this is enjoying, right? And it's all according to what? The body, right? Because I'm definitely the body. But Krishna says, no, it's just sense perception only, O Arjuna. And one should tolerate it without being disturbed. No disturbance. You know, we just have to tolerate it. It's summer, it's hot, but so many beautiful flowers to offer to the deities. So much nice when the rain comes, you have some relief from the heat for a little while until the humidity goes up. You okay? So this suffering and happiness, it comes and goes. Then the old age, when we're young, we're thinking we're going to be like this forever, right? I mean, I remember Srila Prabhupada saying, one day you will be like this. And I couldn't even conceive of it. I couldn't even conceive of being old. Because I'm young and now I feel it. You know, I can't do the things I used to do, nor can I go like I used to go doing service and, you know, you can feel the mind forgets things so easily that used to just be right there on the tip of the tongue. So these things happen, but the relief is we are not this body. We are eternal spirit soul. This body is like the dress. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that it's a dress. And when the coat or the dress gets old and useless, holes in it, all frayed. Although now people buy things with holes in it already from new. But when it gets old and useless, we get rid of it. No problem. Does anyone cry about getting rid of some old clothes to get some new ones? No one. So just like that, the old and useless body finished, new body comes. And here Prabhupada says, if we're lucky, and we listen, we have faith, and we come in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, we can forget about this birth and death cycle. Because we're all caught up in this. I think the Buddhists call it samsara. We call it samsara. It's the wheel. It's always going, birth, death. birth, death, and in between there's, you know, creating offspring, having a bit of enjoyment, having a bit of suffering, and then death, and then birth, and we go on and on in this cycle. But here Srila Prabhupada gives us the secret formula for getting out of here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us there's a secret formula. And first, it's submissively hearing from someone who knows about spiritual life. And then it's chanting this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this hearing, it seems so easy, just Hare Krishna, you say, you hear. But when we're trying to control that mind to actually hear, it's kind of like I heard someone talking the other day about hearing and how most people don't actually listen, right? When someone's speaking to them, they're thinking of what they're going to say next. So they're not actually taking in. They're not submissively just hearing. So we can think of ourselves. I know myself, when I sit down to chant those rounds, immediately the mind becomes active. Ooh, I got to do this. I need to do that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then again, slips in. Oh, this is happening. That's it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the mind is very active. It's not, the ears aren't listening. One time Srila Prabhupada asked, so this chanting, you know, my mind gets in the way. I just can't hear what I'm chanting. Prabhupada said, what is the question of the mind? It's the ears and the tongue, right? Just the tongue and the ears. You just chant and you hear. And this can save us from the most dangerous type of fear. What is the most dangerous type of fear? Can anyone say, what is the most fearful position one can have in this body, in this world? Death. Yes, death. Everyone's afraid of death to some extent or other. It's there. Only a pure person can be unafraid in the face of death. No, but ordinary persons, this is the vehicle. This body is the vehicle that we've enjoyed all these years, that we've done so many things with. You know, sometimes people get attached to cars. I remember one time we went to trade in our old car for a new car, and there was this little tinge of, oh, we're getting rid of this car. You know, it was some attachment there. What a stupid thing. So what to speak of this body that we've done so much to take care of, you know, so much service to this body. We keep it clean. You know, how many times do you have to scrub your feet every day? I know I go into the barn and immediately I come out, my feet are all muddy, scrub it again, scrub it again, scrub it again. You know, so much trouble. You know, if we're really into the body, we might do extracurricular activity. Maybe, you know, raise this, lower that, get rid of the wrinkles. You know, so many things people do to these bodies. Dye the hair, right? Paint the nails. So many things, right? Grow the hair, right? We're all trying to make the body look good. And then we're trying to keep it comfortable. Turn on the AC when it's hot, turn on the heat when it's cold, you know, what else do we do? Feed it nice food stuff, right? So many things, nice bed, make it comfortable. So many things we do in the service of this body, thinking that, so when it's time to give it up, if we have not come to a proper conclusion in life, so much suffering giving it up. My body, I've enjoyed so, now what's going to happen? Fearful, very fearful. And that's why it's important to get this message out to the general public so that they can be saved from that fearful position. They can start to understand who they actually are. You know, who they are and what they can do to purify the consciousness, to go back to Godhead, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Very important knowledge, and it all starts with the ears, with the hearing process. So there's so many ways to hear. There's so many books by His Divine Grace that talk about what we're to do. I remember the first time I got a Krishna book, I could not quit reading it. we were kind of hitchhiking around with Chaturatma and I and a couple other people, and we got this Krishna book, the trilogy. And we were going to universities, and I would sit and read, like, nonstop. I could not get enough. It was so amazing to actually find out who is God and what does he do and how amazing he is, how beautiful, how great, how blissful, how attractive,
adventurous,
strong, yes, merciful. So many qualities Krishna has, and all there, you see them in these pastimes that he does. What to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if you read of his pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? So wonderful. And Bhagavad Gita itself. You know, you look at the front cover of Bhagavad Gita, and there is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, driving the chariot. Now, the person driving a chariot is not high up on the rankings of personalities, right? They're considered like kind of like a sudra person. They're driving the horses. But he took that position for his devotee. What does that tell us? It tells us how kind he is to his devotees. And he says that over and over again in Bhagavad Gita. You know, that he's not partial to anyone, but to his devotee, he's very kind. One time I was listening to a lecture, and Prabhupada said, do not think Krishna is an ungrateful master. You know, he's not ungrateful. He's grateful for all the services we do, for a little hearing, for a little chanting, goes so far to help us advance in our spiritual lives. And it can be felt and experienced firsthand. I know for myself, I take a longer time because I'm not very good at listening and hearing. But after 40-something years, I can feel the change. I can see there's a change in me. From when I first started practicing this chanting and all, I can feel some tinge of love for Krishna, some tinge of attachment to the holy name, to chanting, to associating with devotees, you know, and to going back to Godhead. I want to go back to Godhead. I don't want to stay in this material world. And that comes by hearing and chanting. So important. So important. So all of us, it behooves all of us to do this, this hearing and chanting. And we can read so much things. Actually, I was just reading some of the transcendental qualities of Krishna, and I thought I would share them with you because they're so amazing and they make attachment and it's part of hearing. Okay, Krishna's transcendental qualities. He is very beautiful. He has a beautiful transcendental body. He possesses all good features, is radiant and very pleasing to the eyes. His body is powerful, strong, and youthful. Krishna is a linguist of all wonderful languages. He is truthful and very pleasing speaker. He is expert in speaking, and we know that from Bhagavad Gita, he speaks. And the cows, in fact, it's said that when he was on the battlefield at one point, if you read Mahabharata, he's there and they're going, trying to get, was it Jayadrath that was keeping them at bay, and then they had to break through, so they're going, and the sun's going to stop, and they're still trying to get through all those vyuhas to get there. And Krishna said, okay, get off the chariot and fight. And he lovingly took care of the horses. He gave them water. He patted them down so that their bodily fatigue went away. And then he put them back on the chariot, and they had full vigor to go, go, go. So Krishna could even, and the way he would talk to his cows and call them in the evening to come home, he could speak all different languages to the birds. The parrots would take his messages to the gopis to tell them where to meet. So many different things. So he knows all languages. He is very wise, learned scholar, and a genius. Krishna is expert in artistic enjoyment. He is highly cunning, expert, grateful, and firmly determined in his vows. He knows how to deal according to time, person, and country. And he sees through scriptures and authoritative books. He is very clean and self-controlled. Lord Krishna is steady. His senses are controlled. He is forgiving, brave, and calm. He is equal to all. Moreover, he is magnanimous, religious, chivalrous, and kind. He is always respectable to respectable people. Krishna is very simple and liberal. He is humble, he is bashful, and he is a protector of the surrendered souls. He is very happy, and he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. He is auspicious, and he is the object of attachment for everyone. He is the shelter of the good and the virtuous. He is attractive to the minds of women, and he is worshipped by everyone. He is very, very rich. These qualities are sometimes very minutely exhibited in living beings, but they are fully manifest in the Supreme Lord. So we can see all of those different qualities. There's some qualities in there that are attractive. What is that story about the sadhu who was giving a talk and a thief was sitting there? And he heard that Krishna is the richest. And that he has all kinds of gold and jewelry. And he thought, wow, if I could find this Krishna, I could steal some of that and I would be rich. So he kept listening. And then he heard, oh, he's in Vrindavan. Oh, I could get to Vrindavan. That's not too far away. Maybe I'll walk there and I'll find this Krishna in the forest. So he was attracted to this wealth that Krishna has. So he has so many attractive qualities. By the way, he went to Vrindavan and he found Krishna. And Krishna said, no, I can't give you my jewels. My mother will be so angry with me. But he became a devotee of the Lord simply by seeing the Lord and hearing the Lord speak. How wonderful that would be. And yet here's a thief, and simply by thinking of Krishna's wealth, he became purified. Srila Prabhupada used to say that devotees are like mangoes, like being a mango, you know? And some mangoes are ripe, and they're really wonderful when they're ripe, right? And some mangoes are green. But Prabhupada said, we're like green mangoes. But a mango is a mango, and it will become ripe if left to ripen, right? So we're like that. We just have to hear and practice and hear more and chant more, serve more. It's said here that service comes from hearing, the more we hear. And service and the tendency to hear from authorities, then that ends that cycle of birth and death. So easy, such an easy path. So I'll stop here, and if anybody has anything to say, comment on, or correct, or questions, please. Everyone's in total agreement. They like hearing, more and more hearing. There's so much hearing to be done, and we do so much hearing all the time. We're hearing one thing or another. We hear music, we hear thunder and lightning, we hear the birds in the morning. Yes, probably. Look.
On the purport, thank you very much. Very inspiring, bless. Thank you. On the purport, Prabhupada says that as for the common man, if he's a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. How do we identify a good soul? Who is a good soul, who is not?
I think most all souls are good souls, but I think he's saying here that those souls that are not thinking that they already know everything, there has to be some humility to be able to approach an authority and understand. If we're too puffed up, even we can be in the association of someone who could lead us out of our mire that we're stuck in. We'll never hear that. You know, so many people met Srila Prabhupada and never even noticed that there was anything to learn from him.
Is that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Janasu Gritino Arjuna, that four types of pious people approach me.
That's true. That's true. And they come for different reasons. The someone who is just wanting freedom from their suffering, they'll come. Suffering has that effect on one. You're suffering a lot. You want to find out how to get out of the suffering, right? How do I get a... If you're really sick, you'll want to go to a doctor to find out how can you relieve me from this. But if it's just the material world, you come to somebody who knows how to relieve me from this suffering. There's one in need of money. Is it wealth? What are the other ones? Someone curious? Just distress, we already said that one. And yeah, someone looking for the absolute truth. It's actually a wise person. So those type men will approach the Supreme Lord or someone who knows the Lord to find out. Did you?
Yeah, I have a question. Thank you for such a wonderful class, Mother Uchira. I have a very simple question for you. How do we control the mind?
Yeah, that's practice, I think. I haven't done it yet, but it's practice. It's just, you know, one of the things that the austerity of the mind, Krishna says, you know what that is? Satisfaction. The austerity of the mind is satisfaction. And that's hard. We're always wanting this change, that change. So we have to simplify. That's the way, simplify the life. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to live in a hut, but just to simplify our lives so that the mind slows down a bit and quits. And chanting, I know every day is another chance to control that mind. Sit down and chant japa. Give it something to do. We used to do a drama called The Genie. Did you ever see that one? It's an old... And so we had... There was a king, and he found this magic... what do you call those? Lantern, yeah. And so he started rubbing it. He thought, oh, man, I'm going to get this genie, and I'm going to have all the wealth in the world. And he's rubbing, and suddenly this genie comes out. And he says, what do you want? Why have you woken me? What do you want? And he said, well, I'd like lots of wealth. He said, all right, but I have to tell you, if you do not engage me, I will kill you. The king said, oh, man, well, it's going to take him a long time to get a lot of wealth for me. Immediately, the genie was back. Now what do you want? And so this king was trying to find different things to try to keep him engaged. What do I do? Okay, you can plant trees on all the roads in my kingdom. Okay, but I will be back sooner than you think. And immediately, the genie's back again. He's done it all, and it's over and over. And finally, his minister said, get him to chant Hare Krishna. There's no end. So then the genie, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare. And then he started chanting, and the mind, the genie is like the mind. It becomes pacified and kept engaged. So that's us. Our minds have to, and they can be engaged. I know when I go on the altar to dress the Lord, everything is gone except for just the service. When you go in the kitchen to cook for Krishna, you don't think of anything else. You're just thinking of making this as good as I can for Krishna. So service is a wonderful way to control the mind. You know, even washing pots, you can really get into it and clean the pots. And, you know, you forget about everything else that's going on, you know. So if we can't just chant 24 hours a day, there's so much service to be done that also engages the mind. And if you sign up on the board to do any of these services on Sundays, you'll experience it firsthand. That's the control of the mind. And it controls the body. The body and the mind controls, then you have it made at that point.
With so many people who feel like they have like the truth, or they feel like they are connected to God or whatever, how do you know that you're following the right source? Like, how do you know that you're following somebody authentic? Or
yeah.
Which one to follow?
Yeah, because in this age of Kali, That's one of the propensities, is the cheating propensity. So we do get cheated. We get, oh, this person is God, and then we follow them, and then we find out they've done this, or they do that. And, you know, but it's by what they speak and how they act. And when they say, I am God, forget it. They don't know anything. Or when they say, you're God and I'm God and we're all God, we just don't know it. And then they're at the dentist the next day. They're not God, right? So we shouldn't be cheated. We should see. But we have to know a little bit. We have to know, what is a spiritual person? You know, so for me, I was looking like that. I checked out Guru Maharaji, you know, he's God. Oh, no, he's not God. His mother said he's not God, actually. He's, you know, and he's having all kinds of girlfriends, and he's not God. I checked out the macrobiotic scene, Buddhism a little bit, different things, trying to find. But as soon as I tried Krishna consciousness, I felt some difference. And I thought, okay, let me keep trying this a little bit and see if it actually works. And I'm still here so many years later. I thought I'll try 1 week and see. I've tried yoga. I've tried so many things. You know, and you can see what the effect is on the followers of that process. You meet the followers and you find out what effect has it had on them. You know, this teaching, check out the teacher. See, does he act the way he speaks? Or is he speaking so much high philosophy and yet he's still attached to all of his senses? Right? He or she. You know, so we have to keep our eyes and our ears open, hearing. Prabhupada used to say, you know a fool when he opens his mouth, you know, to speak. And we have to know a little bit ourselves. We have to know something. Something. What is spiritual life? And I know Bhagavad Gita is the first thing. When I read it, I could not, it was like so amazing. It answered so many questions. And then when I met Srila Prabhupada, I could see, here is someone who embodied that Bhagavad Gita. You know, and because it's easy to talk, but it's harder to walk the talk. So I think you have to just be very cautious, but with your eyes and your ears open. Take it up for a moment.
What you're talking about. So they also believe in God, they also believe in serving God, and they also believe in loving God. But what the beauty that I found in Krishna consciousness was, like, the Bhagavatam described in detail, you know, what the spiritual world was like. Like, as a child, you think, okay, heaven, but, you know, gosh, God's mean. I mean, after all, he sends people to hell. That's, I don't want to go there, you know. I don't want to know anything about it. So when I got these books and I started reading about what the spiritual world was like, it was such a, it's so exciting. Like Prabhupada says, if you want to go to Acapulco, then you look at the posters of the, you know, beautiful beaches and sunshine, and you become attracted and you go there. So the beauty that Srila Prabhupada brought was all this information about God. Like, the more you know him, the more you love him. So you may, you know, you're okay, love God, but when you know how, when you see how beautiful he is, and you learn about what he did, just like a person, you know, you meet somebody, you know, David, you know, oh, David's this way, David's that way, but you learn what David does, what he likes, what he, you know, what he likes to eat. So all those things are included, and just very recently became available to us, to America, right? When Prabhupada translated the book, so this is really new information that's come out, and all meant to help us to be able to love God fully.
And we have his cell phone number. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it's just like that. He'll pick up and he'll hear you. You know, so we have to remember that. But yeah, just, you know, if you're looking, look here. I Okay, Krishna will never cheat you. He's the most amazing person.
Srila Prabhupada gave the example of fool's gold. So if you're looking for gold, you need to know to distinguish between fool's gold and real gold.
Yeah.
So you just read some qualities of Krishna. So if we really want love of God, then we have to know who God is.
Yeah.
You help describe that. So it's a search. It's our own sincere search that will take us to the right source of information. As we, as our search becomes sincere, Krishna reciprocates to that.
Yes. And we need to desire, that desire, like you said, searching, wanting it. You know, then Krishna reciprocates. You're right. Prabhupada said one step, you take one step towards Krishna, you take 10 towards you. So just having that desire for a sincere spiritual life, to find someone who can, you know, give us that knowledge, then he will approach us. He will send someone to help us with that. Yes, Pro? Yamaj?
Thank you for the inspiring class. There's a lady who works at the company that I work at, a cab company, and she's a dispatcher. Now, our cab company is owned by a devotee, and so we try to have a lot of Krishna conscious videos planned and things like that. So anyway, she got a hold of some chanting beads, and she's chanting 6 rounds every day. And she comes from a pretty troubled background, but you can see the change in her. And she was telling me the other day, she says, the people that I'm, that my relatives and people that I'm talking to, they're telling me that I'm much more calmer. And she's even telling me she's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. She has a Bhagavad Gita Swami books. And you can see the change in her, too. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. We're kind of like coal. You know, coal, black, you can wash it forever in it. But coal makes diamonds when there's that pressure put on it underground. And even if you look, we lived in South Africa, and I was in charge of a Gurukula there. And there was one devotee there who had worked in mining, and he had collected all these far-out stones, which inside were amazing different types of precious stones. But on the outside, they looked just dirty rocks, any rock you'd just see somewhere. But he knew how to tell what was inside of just seeing the rock. So we're kind of like that. We're kind of like rough diamonds, kind of. But this Krishna consciousness puts that exact pressure to bring out our dormant love for God. And this chanting is what just brings it to the perfection. So we must try that and take prasadam. That's another perfection. Okay, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Krishna.